listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.
Actually, I want you to get ready and turn to Psalms chapter number 27 this morning. And I want to talk to you about a very practical subject titled Better Days Ahead. I've talked to a lot of you this week, different ones, and we've talked about some of the things that you're facing. I'm realizing that a lot of your situations, your circumstances, your family dynamics, some of you are going through health issues in your life, and you've got some concerns. These could cause you, actually, to be in a state of desperation. You can be despaired. Actually, some of you are in a state of desperation. So I come to this passage of Scripture, and I want to share it with you. I'm directed to Psalms chapter 27. We're going to look at a couple verses, and we're going to work our way through this passage of Scripture. The writer says this, in verse number 13, I would have been despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He goes on and says, wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. For years, I have loved this verse. It's brought a great deal of encouragement to my heart. But I guess I must ask you today, what have you finally given up on? On this, the 25th day of the year 2023, what have you finally given up on? Some of you may have given up on the salvation of your children, salvation of your grandchildren probably could top the list. What are you thinking this morning you'll never see in your life, never do, or never have? Maybe you've been trying to salvage a particular relationship for a long, long time, and you're seeing little progress to show for it. And now you're starting to accept its demise as a foregone conclusion. Maybe, just maybe, you've been wrestling for years with a pattern of sin and temptation, with so many starts and stops that you're pretty much wearing out your transmission in your life. You have teary-eyed do-overs that you suppose this is going to be your reality from now on. Or maybe you've lost your grip on the powerful way you once believed that God would use you. We're turning a corner, church. We're turning a corner. That was a great word of exhortation, Dave. And for those that received an encouraging word from the Lord this morning, I'm here to tell you that God has that for each of you. Get ready. Prepare yourself for how God wants to utilize you. But some of you can't get over the sore spot in your memory that just won't stop hurting. And you've become an internal mess. Or still, you've given up on ever finding the financial clearing you thought was coming after living from paycheck to paycheck. Could it be that it's just not in the cards for you? That's how you're thinking. Should you finally resign yourself to the fact that your best days are most likely behind you? I'm here this morning to change that outlook for you. Because your best days, I'm going to help you to see, are yet ahead of you. Those days in the past are days in the past. So this morning you could believe that God's goodness is going to overtake your life. We could believe that if the scriptures said that, we can believe that. The English Standard Version translates that scripture verse that we read and puts it this way. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let the Lord, let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. So, what keeps us from waiting and believing in His goodness? I think our problem is twofold, and I want to talk to you a little bit about that this morning. As we try to wedge our way out of the quagmire, sometimes that we get stuck in. Because God's doing a fresh new thing. He's changing the landscape. And He wants us to adjust to the change. It's not about just viewing what God's doing. It's about participating with Him. But some of us have found ourselves stuck, and God's so patient. And He wants us this morning to lay a hold of His goodness, because His goodness is going to be the weight that's going to carry you through. But our problem is twofold, and here's the first part of our problem. We've spent far too much time striving to fix our problems ourselves. We've tried giving it a better effort. We've tried piecing together a more convincing argument. We've tried approaching it from different angles. And every time we see these solutions not working. Am I talking to the right group here? We think, what else could we be doing? There must be something else. I'm not doing enough. Or I'm not doing it right. Yes, there is something else that you could be doing. You, according to the scriptures, could be getting still knowing that God is God. In the middle of your seemingly impossible situation, you could realize that some of these things are things that He has allowed to persist in our lives, things that we can't seem to change, can't seem to end or resurrect. These are perhaps there because God wants to show us how He moves. And when we wait on Him in faith, things change. It's kind of like in the worship service. We get revved up in some powerful worship praise songs, and then we come to a place of just waiting on God. What do you find in your heart that you would be comfortable with jumping into the next song or the next song? But there is a Selah moment when we just wait. And we need to learn to just rest and wait on God in that moment. It's like that when we trust Him in the journey. Keep believing in His goodness and stop reaching and grabbing to fix things. So our first problem is we like to fix things. We like to slip into our style or our agenda, and we like our style and we like our agenda, but the solution is to learn to wait on God. Can I take a little vote here? No, it's not a vote. It's more of a revelation. Can anybody join me, or am I the only guy on the planet that lacks patience to trust God in the middle of the situation? Well, I'm glad I'm not alone in this thing. Let me give you the second hurdle that we experience. We keep monitoring these situations for signs of improvement. That is tracking the negative data. How many shop online here? I'm going to give you a little story. It's as recent as this morning in my own life. And I caught myself in light of this message. So I ordered some stuff online. And I haven't got it yet. So I go on my email, and it has a tracking option. You know what I'm talking about? So it tells me to put in the tracking number. So I go back, and the tracking number is that long. So I put in tracking number, United States Postal Service. This item's coming from Chicago, Illinois. And for 2 days, it's been sitting in Portland. What's with this? 2 days. It's taken 2 days to get from Chicago to Portland. It's sitting in Portland for 2 days. And I'm getting a little stirred. But it did say from the start. And it reminded me again this morning that it's going to arrive on Tuesday. So if it got to Portland as quick as it did, and if it has to sit in Portland for yet another day to get to Aberdeen, how many know
It's going to get there. It's going to get to my house. But I'm stewing over tracking negative data. Of course, you don't do that. So here's what we do. We roller coaster over the place based on things that seem to be going on within our lives at this precise moment. We're stewing over that negative stuff. But I'm here to tell you this morning, the goodness of God is not accurately calculated by taking daily readings of our current living condition. We don't need to keep grasping for evidence of the goodness of God. In an ever-changing temporal pool of data. I mean, no. God said it. It's going to happen. And we got to trust that. Who cares if your answer is delayed for yet another day, sitting in Portland, Oregon? You see, all the testimony we need is found in the enduring declarations of His goodness that fill Scripture. If we will believe those declarations, our hope will no longer be dependent on the temporary dips, spikes, trends that we perceive. Listen, learn to ride out the storm knowing that God is always good in your life. So this is how our scripture verse fleshes out today. Here's how it actually reads. We can be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him because He is good. And He is good no matter what. And we can trust that we will see that goodness in the land of the living. That means right now. That means while you are breathing air, you can see the goodness of God over your life. His goodness can overtake your life. He can do it right now. And when we correctly perceive the Lord in our situations, how many have come to realize it changes everything? Do you realize that when the enemy of your soul raised an asserted attack on you and said, I'm going to take you out, the goodness of God came in? I want you to know, you can't become friends with the enemy. That's not a good pact to get into. You got to know that his design is to destroy you. Destroy your family. Destroy your vision. Destroy your life. It's the enemy's goal to take you out. But I want to remind you, the goodness of God comes in. God stood up in the middle of that fight and in the middle of that battle, which is raging in your life. How many have come to realize you are in a spiritual conflict? Every single day of your life, you are in a spiritual battle. Sometimes it's more intense. Sometimes you have moments of reprieve. But you're in a battle. And you're fighting for ground. You're fighting for territory. And then Jesus comes in the midst of your conflict, carrying the standard. I want you to know what the standard is. The standard is the battle flag. I want you to think, and we're approaching Independence Day in this country. The conflict that took place for the freedom of this nation and the flag that was carried into battle. The battle flag. Spiritually speaking, it represents the goodness of God that is going before you. I want you to think of your battle this morning. I want you to think of your conflict, about your prayers, about those things that you don't at this moment see a complete resolve to. I want you to know the goodness of God is going to take its place in your life. The standard that we see carried is the battle flag. It represents the goodness of God going before you. I want you to know historically, the one who carried the battle flag was the first one in battle. God said, I didn't say, God said that he will go before you. He said that you shall overcome. And you may not realize it right now, but I'm here to declare today, Jehovah Jireh is walking before you. He's going before you. Doesn't really matter. If there's a delay on the shipment, or if you're confused, or you don't see the answer as you think you should see it, Jehovah Jireh is walking before you. And we've got to align ourselves with heaven today in the midst of our circumstances, because God's goodness is our hope. And it is found in a person, and that person's name is Jesus. How many know he carries the battle flag? He goes ahead of you. He's the one who bears the goodness of God in your life. He is your everything. He is sufficient for the battle. There's nothing that you need outside of him. So open your eyes by faith this morning. And see that your better days are yet ahead of you. Someone needs to hear that this morning. Your better days are ahead of you. And the reason God is raising up your life in this hour, and the reason he's raising up this church and others like it, is because we're going to make a difference in our generation. God has you here on assignment. He has you here for a purpose. And it's going to begin when you do not allow despair to overtake you. Your hope's got to be anchored in the goodness of God. And I want you this morning to begin to shift your thinking. As was said earlier in this service,
There's a paradigm shift happening in the body of Christ. There's a shift in how the church sees itself and how the church engages in this battle. The church corporate and you as a member of his church. There's a shift taking place. And if you don't correctly make the shift, I'm here to tell you it's easy to fall off the wagon when it makes the turn. But if you make the shift and lean with the turns and begin to apply the goodness of God in the midst of your circumstances, hey, I'm here to tell you, you're not only going to make it, but you're going to be a conqueror in it. You're going to be a victor in it. And you're going to bring a whole lot more people with you than you care to realize that are going to follow you, because there's such a dearth out there. People are grasping for hope. So let faith arise in the midst of your circumstances this morning. And don't give up on the hope that God has provided for you. Your conversation with one another is so very, very important. After we're done in this room, I'm going to invite you to the fireside room, because we've got all kinds of goodies, healthy goodies. And you're going to take these healthy goodies and you're going to munch and eat them. But you're not going to do that all by yourself. You're going to gather with people. And the idea there is so that you can bring an affirming word to somebody. Maybe somebody's going through a very hard time. Maybe you can just stop chewing and maybe start praying for somebody. May the fellowship around the tables be rich, and the goodness of God imparted through you to somebody. And when we leave this place, we're going to leave it confident that our flag bearer has not gone asleep at the wheel. Jesus is ever present in the midst of our circumstances, and we're going to also be an instrument of hope and encouragement to those around us. Are you up for that? Good. Good. Stand to your feet. We're going to sing about the goodness of God today. And let that define the course of action for this week. I do need to remind you that before you go and eat and do all that good stuff, there are a couple signups there for the July 4th thing, for the two classes this Wednesday and July 5th. Hopefully you can make both. If you can't make all of them, we'll do a makeup. Remind you of Friday night, fellowshipping with other members of the body of Christ in Grays Harbor, being refreshed in the goodness and the presence of God. But today, I want you to revel in God's goodness. So let's sing together.
Listening to the Cornerstone Church weekly podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.